All right, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. And if you have the same kind of Bible that I have, 13's across the page, so we're also going to read in chapter 13. But if you don't, you need to hold your place. if you're kind of slow at getting there, then go ahead and look, turn to both of them. All right, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that curse thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Right? Chapter 13, start here in verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. All right, let's pray. Father, reading of your word, anytime we do this is important. It doesn't matter whether it would be in our devotions, witnessing, teaching, preaching, anytime. It's always important. So we pray that you'd bless the reading of your word to our spiritual understanding. This is a spiritually discerned book, and we are duty bound to rightly divide it. And we pray that we would here this evening in dealing with a very important subject, and that you would give us the discernment that we so desperately need. So speak to our hearts. The message is for we who are saved. If there's anybody here lost, we just continue to pray that for conviction, that they would be saved through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, in chapter 12, we saw that God spoke to Abram and told him to leave the country he was living in, to leave the kindred of the country that he was living in, and to leave his father's house. There are three commands there, and then the fourth was to go to a land that he had never been, that he didn't know where he was going, but that the Lord would show him. And so he winds up in Bethel. He builds an altar, and there he worships the Lord. A famine ensues. And if you're familiar with chapter 12, you know where I'm going. So Abram and Sarai leave the land that God showed them, that the Lord told them, this is where I want you. And they go down to Egypt. And that's significant. For what reason? Because Egypt is a type of sin. It's a type of the world. Anytime you sin, you go down. You go away from the Lord. It doesn't matter how big it is or how small it is. So let me ask you a question. Did Lot go with them? Yes, he did, because you'll see that if you haven't already read it. And so he makes his way back after he is disgraced by Pharaoh over the business of Sarai, his wife, trying to pawn her off as not his wife, because it was a custom, if he did that he would die. So he shouldn't have gone down in the first place. When you go to a place you're not supposed to go and do something you're not supposed to do, you get in situations that you never should have been in the first place. It's an easy lesson to learn, but it's a hard one, because we tend to jump into something, we become very presumptuous, and then we have to pay the price of that. All right, so by chapter 13, Abram is a very rich man. He may have been already, but it seems like because they bring this up, that he has much more than he had before. And his nephew, that's his kindred, remember? Back here in chapter 12, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. What was he doing there with him? Well, it was kind of an incomplete obedience, which is what? Disobedience. So he's there, and he also shares in Abram's prosperity. I imagine he is now out on his own to some degree, but now we see, as I read this, for the first time, and Genesis is a book of beginnings, and this is the first time this happens, and it certainly is not the last, we see wealth proving to be a source of trouble among relatives. Adam is rich, Lot is rich. The herdmen of Abram and the herdmen of Lot can't get along. There's strife. And it's interesting how prosperity caused them to outgrow where God wanted them to be. How do you figure that? Suppose we filled the church, and it wasn't a funeral or a wedding. And then we filled the church the next week, and the next week, and we started filling the church every week. And then we had to go, like many people go, to a 9:30 service and then 11 o'clock service, blah, blah, blah. And then we talked about going out and buying something and building something and so forth, and we've outgrown the place that God wanted us to be. I often think that you should be able to make applications to the very place that God wanted you to be. So do you think the strife was public? In other words, I don't think that they, at nighttime, the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abram got together in the same place and they said, you know, we can't get along. This is, you know, I don't like your cattle and you don't like our cattle and our sheep, and back and forth they go. But I think it was public. And who else was in the land? The Canaanites and the Perizzites. They were pagans. These were people of the world. You think they took any pleasure in seeing the dissension among professing believers of the true and living God? You better believe, just like today, when believers can't get along, the world loves to see that. They just see, you guys can't get along, you can't agree on anything, you're always after each other's throats and so forth. They love to see that, and I think they saw that here. So Abram took Lot to a place where you could view the country, the whole country. Verse 8 and verse 9, Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. All right? We all know that Lot chose to go toward Sodom. And why did he go toward Sodom? Well, look at verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes, beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest out of Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. All right, so what did he do? He looked, he displayed human wisdom and foresight, and that was it. And he leads his flocks and herds toward Sodom. That's all you're told there, because it was all of you. I kind of look at this, it was like Miami used to be before it became a third world country. Miami was a wonderful place to be. There was very little crime. It was, you know, the palm trees, the coconuts, and just the breeze sweeping through the palm trees. It was just a neat place to be. And then Not today. Today you drive, you keep your windows up, you put up bulletproof windows, and you pray that you don't get a flat tire, and you get in and get out of there as quick as you can. And you get 6 or 7 lanes of I-95 or the turnpike, and you go 70, 80. If you want to keep up, sometimes you go 90 to keep up with those crazy drivers down there. All right? So all through the ages that have come and gone since, and among the trillions of choices that have been made, I mean, there was a choice there that was made. Hardly any choice that is spoken about is given more indelibly marked on our memory than this blind, tragic choice of Lot. And so that's what I want to deal with. So Lot's choice. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I know I kind of summarized everything kind of quickly, but I think most of us are familiar with the story and how it moves to this point. And so I want to get to really what the message is about, especially since these are things that are repeated oftentimes. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, in verse 6, you catch a glimpse of how noble and generous true faith can be. Abram is the older of the two. You have uncle to nephew. It was the custom was the older to take the first pick, and the residue was left to next, second, or third, or whatever. No one would have cried out about Abram taking first pick. No one would have said, "That's unfair. You can't do that. I want that." It didn't happen back then. That's our day, and not then. So if Abram picked first and Lot got second, all the people of the east would have acknowledged that decision. Yes, that's the right thing. But he didn't. He humbles himself before Lot and leaves the decision with him. That's uncalled of. That's unheard of. Nobody did that. So what is the source of that generosity? There has to be a source. It emerges from a deep and an abiding trust, which we call faith in the Lord. Abram's not worried about whether he goes to where it really looks good and is lush, or he's stuck in semi-arid area. He's not concerned about that. He had learned, and he would learn even more in his life, that God was his provider, and that his future was sure when everything was left to him. Right? My future is sure if I'll leave everything to him. If I get in the way, then it's not so sure. And so you have to be careful that, because decisions you make today directly affect your future. And I don't believe there are any small decisions any more than I believe that there are any large decisions in that vein, in that type of thinking. So he has faith in the power and presence of the Lord. And when you have that, you know what that keeps you from? Pettiness. Did anybody not understand that word? That's the thing where you whine and you mumble about, you know, what somebody, look, you can't, it, no, I should have this. And it is that faith that is ready and eager to lean upon the promises of God. Now, he had just broken the very thing that God told him to do twice. He took a relative, he took his kindred, and he didn't stay in the land. He left the land because there was a famine. And did he believe at that point that God would provide? No, That's why he left. If he had stayed, would God have provided? Yes, because God will provide for you if he wants you at a certain place. That's the way it works. But we're more interested in today in our own rights. I have to have my rights. I have to have my way. That kind of thing. That's not faith. That certainly is not faith. That is sight. And that is not pleasing to God in any means. Go with me to Matthew chapter 15. You can hold your place there and we'll come right back. Matthew chapter 15. Is that what I said? I hope so. Matthew chapter 15. This Bible used to turn pages really quick. I don't know what's going on. 15. Look at verse 18 and then 19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. All right, so I'm coming under the heading point. I think the second point is that sooner or later, the real person gets discovered. Sooner or later. You can take, it's like the tares in the wheat. When the tares in the wheat first come up, you can't tell the difference between them. And it takes time. And over time, you begin to see, this is wheat and this are tares. All right? The same thing in life. Don't rush into things because all things are not the way they appear. And so you have to understand whatever is real will eventually come out. Especially if there's a lot of ways you can figure this out. That's a rabbit trail. So when Abram left his land without knowing where he was going, so did Lot. And being younger, he may have manifested a greater zeal than Abram and kind of taken charge and a lot of enthusiasm and things like that. But eventually the hour came when he was shown for who he really was. The choice Lot made revealed his character. He proved unequal to the pressure of that great moment when Abram offered the land for him to choose. In all likelihood, he was probably lusting after that part all along. We know that he went with Abram to Egypt, and I believe he was influenced down there. And he brought it back with him. And so he proved. By the way, these are moments that come to all of us. We come to a certain place, and then we're at a crossroads. Am I going to go this direction? Am I going to go that direction? A lot of times it's very difficult for us to figure that out, especially when you get the flesh working against the spirit and the spirit working against the flesh. And so if we're grounded and we're ordered by God's word, I believe we can make a wise choice. But if we're only influenced by others and have never really tasted ourselves, then I think one is going to lead to failure and the other is going to lead to success. You make your choices, and sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't work out. But they always take you in a certain direction. Sometimes you have to change that direction. Sometimes you have to admit that's not the direction I should have gone. And those are hard lessons to learn. Hopefully you learn them. And faith alone is going to withstand the tests and trials and temptations versus the indulgences of opinions of man. Because the opinions of man, if we were going to have a meeting here and just everybody offer their opinion, everybody'd have a different opinion. And what does that prove? Nothing. It means we're all different. We all see things differently. But you have to have a standard. And if the standard is here and it's in the book, then we all need to align ourselves with the standard. Because and what is there that you don't need the standard for? You need it in everything. Because everything's important. You are here today based on the decisions, the choices you made some time ago. And every week that you keep coming, they're based on the choices you made for that day. And the choices you made while you're here and the choices you made after you're here. It's important. When I talk about faith alone, everybody has faith. Even atheists have faith. Blind faith, but they have faith. And not in the true and living God or the Lord Jesus Christ, but they have an element of faith. So it's important that you see sooner or later, and hopefully you already see this in and of yourselves, you've had to make a choice that determines your character and that you chose well and have been successful in it. It's not the only choice you'll ever make. It's not the last choice unless the Lord calls you home. All right, James chapter 4. We never did get back to Genesis, but we will now. James chapter 4. Now, obviously, there's a principle here. And it's interesting. We go to the New Testament to find it, but it's here. James chapter 4, look at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So what was Lot's mistake? He left God out. God wasn't in that. God was not in that choice. Not at all. These are mistakes that are made every day, where God is not included in what we're doing, what we want to do. It's made by the eye alone for consideration for the soul. The eye can't make consideration for the soul. The Holy Spirit has to do that, working through the Word of God. If it was just for shepherding, the herdman, probably be an okay decision. But life is not just outward and material. There are eternal interests that are involved here. Our soul, God. I mean, all of that is important. There is no hint that Lot ever thought of God in the choice. None whatsoever. What do you think he would have done had the window of tomorrow been flung open and he would have seen the end result of his choice? I don't believe he was married. I believe he married in Sodom. I believe, you know, the disgraceful things that took place in there, if he had seen that, and that the city and the cities around about there would be destroyed by fire in judgment, and that his wife would be turned into a pillar of salt, I don't believe he would have made that decision. But God didn't give him that, because he didn't give God the benefit of the doubt. Sodom was already known as a wicked place, and more wicked than anybody, you know, with a godly desire would want to be there. And so that's where he went. So, yet choices that take in nothing but the seen, what we see, and the temporal, can be actually usually are kind of foolish or fatal when God is ignored. I remember when I was maybe 15, could have been 16, but more like 15, maybe 14. And I'd go upstate to visit with my grandmother and my aunt and uncle. And I'd stay there for a little bit. It was summertime. And they had moved across the highway. And so next door to them, this is all country, lived some girls that I grew up with, basically, from, you know, with visits. And so they got together with some other guys, and they would go to this place where there was like a quarry. And you would get up top and you would jump off the rock into the quarry. And so one person hit a rock. There was no way that I was going to jump into the quarry. It was perilous. They'd been there and been there and been there and doing this. And one guy decided he was going to try something different, and he paid the price for that. Right? You know, these are decisions we make, and sometimes they're fatal. So include God in your decisions, because oftentimes you'll take a step back, and you may still make the decision, but in all likelihood you'll go another direction. I was talking with Frank the other day. I said, if you have a doubt, he's talking about work and the job offer. If you have a legitimate doubt, then don't do it, because the doubt will eventually pan out to be right. And if you doubt everything, of course, you'll never do it. But sometimes the doubt is from the Holy Spirit, and it's worth not taking advantage of. Okay, go to Genesis 13, and let's look in verse 12. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. All right, let's back up. Yesterday's choices, today's future. In verse 10, he lifted up his eyes. When you come down to verse 12, he had pitched his tent toward Sodom. Right at the outside of the city. He made his way down there. So he moved to that place from the choice he made by his eyes minus God. There may be places or things which are not evil in of themselves, yet can be dark, which we talked about at length this morning, if they indicate the direction of someone's life that you can't see on the surface. What direction are our lives taking? Hopefully the direction is very narrow, straight and narrow. Daniel was a prisoner. He was a prisoner for the worldwide empire of Babylon, and then the Medes and the Persians. And when the Medes and the Persians saw that he was a man of God, that they couldn't find any fault with him, what did they do? They made a plan whereby it would be illegal to pray to any other god but the pagan gods. And so what did Daniel do? He made a choice. He went to the place where he lived, threw open the windows, and prayed toward Jerusalem. You think God was in that prayer? Do you think God was in that decision, in that choice? I do. Lot, however, pitched his tent toward Sodom. He had two choices, two directions. Yes, they tried to kill Daniel, but God protected Daniel. Lot's choice didn't leave God into the formula. So again, I ask you, what direction are we taking? Is it based on the eye? Is it based on sight? Or does it include God? And you can't bargain with God here. You either know, all right, we don't like to do this because everything is instantaneous. If I do this, Lord, what could result? We don't take the time to do that. We just do it. And then pray, Lord, we hope you're in it. That's not faith. It's like, all right, let's move to this a little bit more south out of town where there's lots of property. We'll buy the property and we'll pay $2 or $3 million for the property. And we'll float some bonds and then we'll build a 850-seat capacity church, balcony. We'll build an auditorium. We'll build a gymnasium. We'll build, and we'll go deep into debt. And then we'll say, okay, God, now you provide. We never had that money. That is not faith. That's why people back in the late 70s, early 80s, and independent Baptist churches all went under, because they had this idea that you build a big place and then you're going to fill it. It didn't happen. Even here in Orlando, the Orlando, who was that guy? Joel Smith. What was that called? It was on 436. When we first came to town years ago, we went there, and he had this big presentation of all these different Bibles and so forth. And it was in a dismal kind of building. And they had a place next door, and it was big, and it was humongous, and it was being built. And No. Joel Smith. This is Joel Smith. And so he went along, and the church split. And the building sat. Something had to go into floor closure. If there were trustees that were responsible for paying that, there was bankruptcy. But that's not faith. That's presumption. If you have the money to do something, then that's not presumption. You know you have the money to do it. That's why our country's in debt. Wouldn't you like to be able to print money? I'd love to be able to print money. But we can't do that, but we've got an immoral government that prints money. And so when they run out of money, they print more money. Well, we can't do that. And so they're in debt, and we see that, and we say, okay, here come the credit cards. And we think we can buy something we don't have the money to pay for, because we can buy it on time, and we can pay 30% interest for the rest of our lives and never pay it off. That's not smart. So when each of our children went to school, we gave them, did we give you a credit card? Yes, we did. We gave, you got agreement to me. We gave each one of them a credit card when they went off to college. And it was to be used for emergency purposes only. If you needed a flight back, if we were hurt, and something like that, something had happened, you do that. But you couldn't buy things that you didn't have the money to buy. It teaches responsibility. It teaches accountability. Right? So you take that practice, you live your lives by that. We've done this the entire time we've had the church. We don't buy things we can't pay for, because it's not right. Well, the Lord will bring the money in. Well, the Lord has brought the money in, and then we buy the things. The Lord's brought the money in for this, everything we've done here, and what we're doing there. When everything's said and done, there'll be no debt. We won't owe money. We didn't have to take and borrow any. We could have worked the other way. But if God gives people the ability to do things, then shouldn't God's people do it? It was great when everybody came in here and that day, it was on a Tuesday after the hurricane, and worked so hard all day and get everything out of here. I mean, we made a mess. We threw a lot of things out we shouldn't have never thrown out. We damaged a lot of things we never should have done. But we did it. And you know, conservatively, we saved $20,000 to $25,000. Right then. That's just on the office, the nursery, this room, the kitchen, and the fellowship hall. What we put back in hasn't even come close to that. And that would have been even more. We still have to do the French drains. But listen, you know how to dig a ditch? We can dig ditches. It's not hard. It's sand. You go out to the beach and you stick a little shovel in the sand and you put your foot on it. And it, guess what? It goes right down and you can lift it up. Or is ditch digging beneath you? It's not beneath me. There's nothing that realistically that I know of that I would not do for the Lord or the Lord's work. I've got that in my mind. It's just set that way. I'm not stingy. I'm not ultra thrifty that way. I'm just hey, if we have the ability to do that, we'll do it. All right, back to this. What direction are we taking? And the answer it is towards who you are day by day, decision by decision. That's the direction you're going. Does it include God? Is it by faith? Or is God out of the picture? And you know better than I do what direction you're going. It's who you are. It's who I am. All right, let's pray. As we bow our heads tonight and look to the Lord for guidance and for instruction, I pray that He has spoken to our hearts and that He has encouraged us to look to Him in all things. We read the verse in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And yet many times that is ignored until it's too late. Let's start with that and maintain that and end with that. Father, have your way here tonight. We are your people by faith in Christ. Hopefully all of us. May we maintain that we have received the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We know beyond any question of our salvation, our eternal destination. And now, Father, we look to Thee through the power of the Holy Spirit and Your Word for direction in the choices of life, whatever they may be. That You are included and that Your hand would be on the very decisions we make. Again, whatever they may be, how often or how little, everything is important because we're all headed somewhere before we go home to be with You. And we certainly don't want to make the choice that Lot made. Maybe that's extreme, but I don't think so. Father, we've read too much of the choices that have been made that have wound up in believing people just shipwrecked. And as you drive through the highways, the spiritual highway of life, you'll see a number of tragic roadkill. People that have made bad, bad choices and have left You out and didn't make it. I'm certain I'm not speaking hypothetically, but realistically. We want You to approve of what we do and how we do it. But we have to include You in all of those things. So have Your way in the invitation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.